Well, we have many challenges that we face in life, and those challenges can cause us to become discouraged, worried, or even afraid. But God wants us to have courage. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines courage as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. The American Heritage Dictionary defines it a little fuller. They define it as courage as the state or quality of mind or spirit that enables one to face danger, fear, or difficulty with self-possession, confidence, and resolution. And its definition also includes the courage of one's conviction, to stand in accordance with one's beliefs, especially in spite of criticism. So again, courage is a quality or a trait that God wants us to have. But godly courage is different from the courage we see displayed and admired by most people in the world. Godly courage isn't based on our own strength, self-confidence, or self-reliance. Godly courage is based on strength that comes from our confidence and reliance on God. Now, the Bible contains many examples of godly courage. Moses showed courage when he went before Pharaoh and asked him to let the Israelites go. Joshua showed courage when he led the Israelites into the promised land and conquered the people that inhabited the land. David showed courage when he killed Goliath. Abigail showed courage when she went to David and asked him to spare her family. Esther showed courage when she invited herself to see the king and stood up against Haman. Peter and John showed courage when they were brought before the Sanhedrin and told not to preach about Jesus, but then continued to preach boldly in the name of Jesus. And there are many more examples, but today I want to look at three of those examples. First, I want to look at Joshua. So if you would turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We'll begin there with verse 1. And you might want to mark your place in Joshua. Going to be reading several passages from Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So when Moses died, Joshua succeeded him as the leader of the Israelites. And he was given a huge responsibility. He was responsible for about 2.5 million people. And he was told to go in and conquer the promised land. God told Joshua that he was going to give him the land and that no man would be able to stand before him all the days of his life, because God would be with him. God told him to be strong and of good courage and to do according to all the law that Moses had given him, and that he would prosper and have good success. Three times, I don't know if you noticed, three times in that passage, God tells Joshua to be strong and of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. And he said, don't be afraid or dismayed, because I will be with you wherever you go. It takes courage to follow God and to do what he says. Joshua had courage, and he trusted God. And he was being tested here, but it wasn't the first time that Joshua had been tested. Let's, again, mark your place in Joshua 13, because we'll come back to it, but I want to turn now to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and we'll begin with verse 26. The Israelites had been at the edge of the promised land for 39 years. This was actually 39 years earlier that we're going to be reading about here. And you'll see that they had refused to go in and take the land because they were afraid of the people that lived there. And if you remember the story, Moses sent a group of 12 men in to see the land, just to see what, you know, to spy out the land, to see what it was like, and then come back and report what they had seen. So let's pick up the story now with verse 26. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Apparently, the people started talking among themselves, because verse 30 says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Let's read what happens in chapter 14, Numbers 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select the leader and return to Egypt. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. God had promised to give the people the land. Again, they've refused to enter because they were afraid of the people that inhabited the land. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones besides Moses and Aaron that trusted God and had the courage to enter the land. The bad report given by the other 10 men caused the people to be afraid and to doubt God's promise. They were so dismayed, they rebelled against Moses and Aaron and wanted to return to Egypt. And when Joshua and Caleb tried to intervene and told them not to be afraid, they wanted to stone them. After all that God had done for them, the people didn't believe that God would help them conquer the land. God had delivered them from slavery in Egypt, led them through the wilderness, fed them, protected them, and kept all his promises. And then they didn't believe that he would give them the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that believed God would help them and keep his promise to give them the land. But that gave them great courage. We see here the great courage that Joshua and Caleb showed despite the challenges they faced. So let's go back now to Joshua chapter 1. And let's read again verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So this is God speaking, and he emphasizes that this is a command. So it's important that we have courage. Without courage, we will be afraid and dismayed, but we can have courage because God is with us. Joshua had courage because he knew God was with him. He believed God's promises. He trusted God, and that is what gave him courage. Now, we can have courage knowing that God is with us because nothing is impossible for God. We may face challenges that seem impossible, but nothing is impossible for God. The Israelites have been tested when they were pursued by the Egyptian army. They became trapped by the Red Sea. And in Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses said to them, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And as we all know, God parted the Red Sea and they crossed on dry land. The Israelites had seen what God could do, but they didn't trust him. But Joshua trusted God, and that gave him courage, the courage to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And Joshua kept his courage, and God went with them as he had promised. They crossed the River Jordan on dry ground, just like they had crossed the Red Sea. And God helped them defeat their enemies, the inhabitants of the promised land, just as he had promised. Joshua is a great example of courage, godly courage, and we can learn a lot from him. So we'll come back to Joshua, but now I want to move on to the second example. Please turn with me now to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The second example is David. So let's begin with verse 1 here, 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah. They camped between Socah and Azekah in Ephes Damon. I hope I'm pronouncing these things correctly. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. Verse 4, and a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him. And he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. We just read that Goliath's height was 6 cubits and a span. Well, a cubit is about 18 inches, and a span is about 9 inches. So Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. He was big. His bronze coat of mail weighed 5,000 shekels, which is about 125 pounds. And he also wore a bronze helmet and bronze armor on his legs. So just his armor probably weighed as much as I weigh. His iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, which is about 15 pounds. And said the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Well, a weaver's beam would weigh 50 to 70 pounds. So the total weight of his spear with the beam and the iron spearhead would have been around 75 pounds. Goliath's weight was estimated to have been around 700 pounds. He was a big dude. A king, you know, it said here that King Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and afraid. No one had the courage to fight Goliath, not even Saul, who, if you remember, was head and shoulders taller than all the other Israelites. They were all terrified, they were all paralyzed by fear. And Goliath went out morning and evening and taunted the Israelites for 40 days. David was the youngest of 8 sons, and his 3 oldest brothers had gone to fight the Philistines. So when David came to the camp to bring food to his brothers, he heard Goliath taunting the Israelites. Let's read what David said in verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away this reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David had a different perspective than the others. He wasn't afraid. And he asked, why is this uncircumcised Philistine allowed to defy God's people? Earlier, after Saul had been chosen to be king, it says in 1 Samuel 11, verse 6, that the Spirit of God came upon him. And when God was with Saul, he was very courageous, and he defeated his enemies. You can read that in the earlier chapters of 1 Samuel. But later, Saul disobeyed God, and God rejected him. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14 says that the Spirit of God left Saul, and a distressing spirit troubled him. So God was no longer with Saul at the time of this battle with the Philistines. But God was with David. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13 says that David was anointed king. He had already been anointed king. And it says there in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, that the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward. So David had courage because he knew God was with him. Let's continue with verse 31. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And it's interesting here then that Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You know, David had confidence because he knew God was with him. He remembered what God had done for him before. He had helped him kill, you know, lions and bears that had attacked his flock. And the interesting thing here is that Saul placed the fate of the entire nation in the hands of David. Remember what Goliath had said, that if he killed the man who came to fight him, the Israelites would be slaves to the Philistines. So again, Saul's placing the fate of the entire nation in David's hands. He apparently recognized David's courage and that God was with him. Now, David didn't have any battle experience. He was a shepherd. But again, he knew that God was with him. And his trust and his confidence was in God. He knew what God could do. He remembered what God had done for him in the past, and he had confidence that God would deliver him again. So let's continue with verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet. He put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. So David was going to go against Goliath with no armor, no weapons. And that showed that it was all up to God. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Goliath was offended that the Israelites had sent this young man with no armor and only a staff and a sling in his hands. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And he cursed David and threatened him. But David was not afraid. Verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So David tells Goliath that he's coming to him representing God, the God of Israel, whom he had defied, and that it was God who was going to deliver him into his hand. The source of David's strength was the Spirit of God that was in him. His courage came from knowing that God was with him and that the battle belonged to God. He knew that God was going to show everyone that he, the God of Israel, was the one true God. Verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. Verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. You see the courage here that David showed? He didn't run away. When Goliath came toward him, he ran toward Goliath. Again, he wasn't thinking about himself. This was about God. And he knew that God could and would deliver him. There were thousands of men in the Israelite army, and none of them had the courage to face Goliath. They all cowered in fear as Goliath taunted them for 40 days. But David, who had no armor, went up to fight against Goliath. He had no armor, but he had courage. He had confidence that God was with him and that God would fight for him. We need to have courage to fight against our adversary. God tells us not to be afraid. He tells us to be strong and of good courage. We can have courage knowing that God is with us and that he will fight for us. A familiar scripture, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So with God's spirit in us, we can have courage. We need God's presence with us through his spirit. God tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. As long as we remain faithful to God, we can trust him to be with us. David is a good example of godly courage. He was faithful to God. He wasn't perfect, but he was faithful to God to the end of his life. He always trusted God to always be with him and to fight for him, and that gave him great courage. Let's look at one more example. Let's look at the example of Peter and John in Acts 3 and 4. I'll just summarize what it says in Acts chapter 3. In Acts 3, Peter and John went to the temple to pray, and they came upon a man who had been lame since birth. And the man asked for money. Peter told him that he didn't have any, but he had something better. And he said, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man was immediately healed. Then the man followed Peter and John, it says, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now there were a lot of people around the temple, and they saw what was going on. So this crowd gathered around them. So Peter began preaching to them about Jesus Christ. He talked about how Jesus had been crucified, buried, and resurrected. And he challenged them to repent and have their sins forgiven. And let's read what happened next in chapter 4, Acts 4, verse 1. "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." Let's skip verse 4 and continue with verse 5. "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole.'" Drop down to verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing next to them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside out of the council, to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let's severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name.'" Verse 18. "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard.'" So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. But after they let them go, they went to the other apostles and told them what the chief priests and elders had said to them. Then they all prayed. So let's read the last part of their prayer here in beginning with verse 29. Acts 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So they prayed for boldness or for courage, and they were all filled with God's Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. God's Spirit gave them all the courage to preach boldly. Later in Acts chapter 5, the apostles were again healing and preaching in the name of Jesus Christ when they were taken into custody by the same religious leaders. Let's pick up the story in chapter 5, verse 17. Acts 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord appeared. An angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Verse 22. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." And when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So then one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, teaching the people." Verse 26. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And Peter didn't stop there. He went on. Verse 30. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand, to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished. and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching Jesus as the Christ. Following God takes courage. Peter and John were warned repeatedly not to preach in the name of Jesus. But they were filled with God's Spirit, and they continued to preach boldly despite the threats of the religious leaders. They had courage, great courage, like Joshua and David, and God delivered them from the Sanhedrin. We need courage. God's presence in us through the Holy Spirit gives us courage, and we can rely on God because he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 say, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Before Moses died, he said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes before you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Let's turn back now to the book of Joshua. I began in Joshua chapter 1, and I want to end in chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. Joshua was near the end of his life, and these are some of his last words to the Israelites. Joshua 23, beginning with verse 6. "Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, those who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you." Drop down to verse 14. "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." God keeps his promises, and he has promised to fight for us. And he tells us to be strong and of good courage. God will give us the strength and the courage we need. Of course, we have to do our part. We have to believe God and obey him. Joshua, David, Peter, and John all trusted God. They knew God was with them, and they were faithful to him. They believed God would keep his promises, and they were committed to serving him. They had great courage because they knew God was with them. And we can have courage. We can have the courage we need knowing that God is with us. So let's obey God's command. And be strong and of good courage.